This is an oral notfic recorded by Litra. Fandom is Star Wars Rebels, pairing Zeb Callis, and this is a soulmate, soulmark, AU soulmates thing. So in this world, it's not that you have a mark on your skin or that you see in color or whatever. It's that after you meet your soulmate, and by meet, it's like you have to be in a certain proximity, like close enough to meet each other's eyes. But it also works if you just pass that person on the street. After that happens, you start swapping places with them. So it doesn't happen to, like, little kids, unless the little kids meet when they are little kids. You generally learn that you have met your soulmate and who your soulmate is by the fact that you are suddenly dropped into their life. So Callis and Zeb first meet on Lassan. I considered having them first meet in episode one, but I like meeting on Lassan, because that's how Zeb escapes the massacre. So they are fighting, and they, you know, it's the middle of combat, they're going at each other, the disruptors are causing havoc, and Zeb either gets knocked out, Callis is also injured because he has to fight that other guardsman and earn his bow rifle, but he doesn't have any head trauma, whereas Zeb has some head trauma. Once everybody has surrendered, Zeb is hauled away with the rest of these still living prisoners to basically a war camp. While Callis goes back up to his Star Destroyer, checks himself into medical, is, you know, doing all the things, has no idea that he's met his soulmate. That night, the dead of night, Callis and Zeb swap places. Callis has been kept in medical overnight for observation, and so all of a sudden, the bed that he was in now has a Lasat in it, still unconscious. The medical droids, like, register, this is not the patient that was supposed to be in this bed. Do a diagnostic, check why this patient is, this patient has head trauma, apply Bacta. You know, all this stuff. Meanwhile, Callis has been zapped into a Lasat war prisoner camp and is woken up, or wakes up, fairly quickly. I'm gonna say he has some parts of his uniform on. He's not in a hospital gown, thank goodness. Although that would be really funny. The Lasat are not happy to see him. He is not happy to see them. He manages to get to, you know, the outer perimeter, talk to the guards, goes, "No, I am ISB agent Callis. Here's my ID number. Here's my, you know, handprint. Here's my retina scan. This is who I am. I need to get back to my ship." And because he's ISB, nobody asks questions. They just assume it's ISB business. We don't want any part of it. So they're like, "Okay, you check out. Shuttles are over there. Go ahead, officer." So this takes a little bit. Like, between him not getting beaten up by the Lasat, and then him having to get his clearance checked and all that, it takes, you know, half an hour to an hour. By the time he gets to the shuttles, it's a solid hour. So he manages to take the shuttle up into, like, orbit, and he has not yet called the Star Destroyer about, like, "Hey, I need docking." He's just, like, taking a moment to breathe and going, "Okay, what's going on here?" Because up until this point, I mean, he's been wondering how he got back onto the planet, but he's also had to put up a front. He's also had to be the utterly in control ISB agent. So he hasn't actually had much time to think about it, but now he's all alone. He's got this, you know, shuttle that's supposed to hold maybe two or three people. It's really just a a messenger ship. But he takes a moment, breathes, tries to figure out what happened, and they switch again. And Zeb, at this point, has come to. So he woke up in medical bay, in a Imperial medical bay, and he quietly started panicking, which of course made the heart monitors go crazy, made the medical droids come over, and he's like, no, I don't want to be with medical droids, I'm fine, I swear, the back to health, and they switch. So Kallus poofs into the bed, and the medical droids are like, you are not panicking? And he's like, no, I'm not panicking. My leg still hurts. I still have these bruises, but I'm not panicking. And they are like, good, no panicking. We have treated your bruises already. You're good. And they wander off. Meanwhile, Zeb, in the cockpit of this small fighter, like, looks at the controls in front of him, looks at the Star Destroyer looming overhead, looks at the planet below, realizes where he is, if not entirely what has happened, and he, like, punches in some random coordinates for hyperspace and gets out of the system. He has to dump the shuttle at the next port, of course, but it's enough that he gets out of there. Over the next couple of days, neither of them switch again. And I think there has to be some kind of proximity thing that they can't switch across entire galaxies. So neither of them know who the other is, but they know the situation surrounding it, and they figure out what has happened. They figure out, oh darn, I met my soulmate, he was an Imperial / Alasat, and we swapped a couple of times, and I don't have any idea who he is. Don't even know if he is a he. So because of their distance, they don't switch again. After that, Kallus maybe goes back to Coruscant. Zeb is jumping around the Outer Rim. He eventually meets Hera and joins the Ghost crew. Until Kallus is assigned to the Rebel Trouble on Lothal, nobody, like, that's the end of it. They don't switch again. Both of them kind of put it behind them because they don't want to think about it. But somewhere in the back of their heads, they both have the knowledge that, hey, my soulmate is out there, and they are an enemy. Kallus definitely does not tell anyone. Like, he manages to smooth over most of what happened because the guards on the planet don't call it in, and he appeared back in the medical bay, like, in time for the morning, so it was just, hey, there's a shuttle missing. And why would Kallus know anything about a missing shuttle? He was in medical all night, he swears. Meanwhile, Zeb might mention that he has a soulmate when he gets, like, when he is drinking or when, you know. But I don't think he properly mentions it. Like, he never sits down with the Ghost crew and tells the story. So then the next time they meet is in episode 1, and they pass by each other in the corridor when Ezra gets captured, and there are some really high emotions there, and for a minute, maybe they lock eyes and they think, oh, there's something there. But then the door slides shut between them, and Zeb is like all emotional over leaving Ezra behind, so he doesn't think anything of it. He doesn't connect the dots. And Kallus is the upright ISB officer who is in charge at all times. And so if he does connect the dots, he doesn't show it. And he marches Ezra down into the security. And there's that moment, or those few minutes, where he's in the prison room, in the cell with Ezra, and there are guards outside, but it's just the two of them, that's when they switch again. So Kallus is going, what's your name? They will come back for you, yada, yada, yada. And Zeb is in the ghost, just like, he's probably in his bunk by now because they ran and then they had to turn around and come back. So he was in the cockpit and then he turned around and he went to his bunk and he's all like beating himself up and he's hitting the wall and then they switch. And Callus is like, I'm in a different room. This is a bunk room. This is a bunk room with two bunks and some weird paint on the wall. Where am I? He turns around, he sees Chopper, who is just standing in the hallway, and Chopper, like, beeps at him. Meanwhile, Zeb pops into Ezra's room, Ezra's cell, and goes, oh, kid, great, we're coming to get you. Hold tight. And then they switch back. So Ezra is just staring this whole time. He's heard of soulmates, but he's never seen anything like this. And he's like, he's also playing the fool a little bit. He's like, I'm an innocent little kid. I can't do anything. And so Callus, like, glares at him and then tells the guards to search him and lock him up, because he is absolutely certain that the rebels will come for him. Meanwhile, Chopper beeps at Zeb and then goes careening through the ghost back up to the cockpit, squealing at the top of his vocoder that, like, Zeb did a thing! Zeb did a thing! Zeb did a thing! Hera, fix it! With a lot of swear words in there. So Hera tries to calm Chopper down. She thinks she can understand the binary enough to mostly understand it, but again, Chopper isn't being all that coherent. So she's like, yes, we know Zeb did a thing. We're going to fix it. And she's thinking that, like, Zeb left Ezra behind. That's what he did. We're fixing it. We are going back. And Chopper is trying to communicate that, no, that's not it. It was another thing. But they're in the middle of a big thing at the moment. And then the Star Destroyer is right there. And then she's like, Chopper, plug in. We're going to need to make a quick exit. And he's like, fine, plugging in. So they go through. They rescue Ezra. And they don't switch again, I think. Like, they don't switch again immediately. And then they head over to Kessel. And they're nearby, but see, I'm not sure exactly what triggers the switch. Whether it's just a high emotional state, or whether it's random, or whether it's when the Force decides they need to switch. But they don't switch on Kessel. And then the ghost is in hyperspace, and they're too far away to switch anyway. They drop off the Wookiees, or send them off to wherever they're headed. And then they drop off Ezra, and there's that, are you going to join the crew moment? And he decides to join the crew. And that evening, they're all sitting down, and Ezra's like, so, yada yada, like, you know, this is a nice place. I guess I'm bunking with Zeb. Does that mean I'm bunking with his soulmate too? And they're all like, wait, soulmate? Zeb doesn't have a... Wait, Zeb? You mentioned that you have one. Wait, what? And Chopper burps up and goes like, and he's pointing and, you know, cursing again because it's Chopper. And then everybody just kind of turns to look at Zeb and he's like, it's not my fault. I did not intend this. I don't know what's happening, but apparently, and he's not happy about it. So he's trying to dance around it, and Ezra is the one that comes out and says, yeah, he swapped places with Agent Callus. And Zeb gets all angry, and he's, like, threatening to crawl over the table, going, little brat, I'm gonna... And either Hera or Kanan are like, wait, is this true? And he's like, well, yeah, I guess. I mean, it's not like I have any control over it. And Hera and Kanan, who are totally soulmates and have used this to their advantage multiple times, kind of look at each other And Kanan just, like, shrugs and goes, well, you can't control this kind of thing. It just happens. And Hera, like, runs her hand down one Leku and was like, okay, we're gonna have to figure out a way to handle this. And until we do handle it, we're going to have to stay planetside, because I do not want a ISB agent on my ship in the middle of hyperspace. That would be bad. He could do a lot of trouble. So that's why they start hanging around Lothal. I mean, also, it's Ezra's home planet and their home base. But that's why, like, the next few episodes, they are either hanging around Lothal or it's, like, Zeb is off somewhere else and Hera and Sabine are off doing a thing. And they're like, well, yeah, Zeb can handle himself. He's an adult. And that's the start of a basically comedy of errors. They both know what is happening. Neither of them wants to get caught. Zeb does not want Kallus anywhere near the ghost crew. And Kallus does not want anyone in the Empire to know about Zeb. So, like, whenever they do switch, havoc. There is havoc. Because Zeb is, like, frantically either A, trying to get back to his crew, or trying to cause chaos, because it's the Empire! I'm gonna blow shit up! And Kallus shows up on the ghost, and the crew is like, ah! They've switched! Get him! And so he's trying to escape, trying to learn everything he can. There are definitely a couple of times when Kallus is just sneaking through the ship, and Ezra is, like, in the vents, and he sees the wrong person go by, and he's like, wait. Or Chopper is plugged into a system, and he's like, I'm just tuning up the hyperdrive, yada 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 yada, wait a minute. There's another life sign on the ship. This is an unrecognized life sign. Sound the alarm! And there are a couple of times when it happens where, like, after a while, they'll switch, and, like, Zeb was just sitting at the kitchen table, just eating his breakfast, and they switch. And Kallus was in the middle of doing paperwork, so, you know, Zeb, in his office, is just shredding as much paperwork as he can handle and deleting all the files. And meanwhile, Kallus is, like, looking down at his cereal, just going, oh, criff. Because everyone on the ghost crew is just staring at him. And the only thing he can do is just surrender and wait for the switch back, or eat the damn cereal. Which is actually good, because Kallus misses a lot of meals. And so there's, like, a kind of quiet comfort in the fact that, yeah, every time he switches with Zeb, he's locked up in the bunk room, and Ezra is like, gosh darn it, I don't get to be in my bed anymore. Like, I have to sleep in the cargo bay when you show up. Why are you here? Sabine, can I at least sleep in your room? But on the other hand, they feed him regularly, and they force him, like, they don't force him to eat, but there's nothing else to do. He's stuck there for up to a couple of hours at a time, just like, okay, I'm in this room, they have captured me, I can try to get out, but what would be the point? Because I'm gonna switch back any minute now. I can try and be randomly destructive, like Zeb is continuously doing. And at some point, Kallus is just like, I am above this. I am not going to constantly destroy things just to prove that I am better at it. Better at this whole situation than you. And Zeb is like, so you're not gonna destroy things, and I still get to destroy things? That's fine. Of course, they're not having any actual conversations, except when they're fighting, because they still, like, run into each other and go at each other regularly. This whole, you are soulmates, and you
regularly swap lives to live in each other's shoes for however long, has not yet helped them accept and be friends.
Yeah.
So, in amongst the, you know, Callus showing up and complaining, like, he will often complain to the other ghost crew, like, do you have any idea how destructive that Lasat is? Can you at least get him to not, like, break my lamps? I've had to requisition 3 new lamps. The lamps aren't security sensitive. He's not going to get anything out of the lamps. I liked that last one. And then the ghost crew passing that on to Zeb, that's like, yeah, he liked the last lamp, and he's sorry you destroyed it. And Zeb going, heh, yeah, I destroyed another one. And occasionally, Callus will write basically sticky notes. He will cover his desk in sticky notes going like, here's a sticky note of, this is non-sensitive, or at least, like, his labeling becomes super precise, too, because if Zeb is going to destroy things, he will either destroy everything, or he'll just throw it all over the room. And so Callus will have to put it back in order. And so that's the first reason his filing becomes super meticulous. But the other way is that he has this theory that maybe Zeb will go after things that look interesting. So he starts labeling things like Lothal Mining Guild Regulations, with the hope that Zeb will look at the Mining Guild Regulations and goes, that looks super boring, I'm just gonna toss it. Or, that looks super boring, I'm gonna leave it alone. And maybe not ruin everything. And there's this weird contrast because Zeb doesn't have a lot of possessions, first. And second, like, keeps his part of the room. Like, he has to share a room with Ezra. And Ezra is not the neatest person. But Zeb was in the military, so his few possessions are pretty neat and well kept. And so Callus knows he's doing it on purpose. So that's the ongoing state of things when Geonosis happens. They're above Geonosis, they lock eyes, they immediately go for each other just because at this point they have done everything they can to piss each other off. They end up in the escape pod goes off course, lands on the ice moon, crashes through the ice. All of that still happens. By the time they find the meteorite and are like, okay, we have this broken transponder that I'm trying to fix and your leg is broken and all of that, they're still sniping at each other because that's what they do. But they're also like, did you have to glue my dresser drawers shut? Well, did you have to break yet another lamp? Glare, glare. That was kind of funny, though. Yeah. Can you really, I mean, seriously, can you not destroy all my paperwork? Do you have any idea how much sleep I keep losing because I have to redo all of my paperwork? And Zeb goes off, and I'm like, well, you do look like a wreck. Exactly. If you didn't keep messing with my stuff, I'm messing with your stuff because you're, like, Empire, and then they have the whole Empire chat, which, you know, every fic goes into, and every fic uses the same arguments, and all those arguments are good, and so I'm going to glaze over that because, yeah, it's the Callus, get your head out of the sand, look at Geonosis, look at the Empire, look at all the stuff. Zeb has a much better life than you, and in this continuity, you know it, because they feed you. They actually talk to you even when you are locked up in the bedroom, and you have no other friends. So, and also they both mention that, like, why did it have to be both of them? Because if only one of them was stuck on the moon, then the other one could call for help. If they switched, or something. And they have to actually work together for once. And of course, they work together really well. They're sniping at each other the entire time, but between all the sniping, they're both really impressive dudes. And they both know they're soulmates at this point. So there's that little thing in the back of both of their heads of, is this going to be a romantic soulmate, or is this going to be a other type of soulmate? And yeah, I am actually attracted to this guy. That's a little awkward and a little, how do I broach that? This is the first time we've ever spent any actual time together, despite the fact that the entire Ghost crew knows about Callus's life by now. And Zeb has managed to fool the security of the, Zeb has snuck through Imperial buildings many times by now. I don't know if he has modified a suit of stormtrooper armor so that it fits him, or I don't know if he is just really good at sneaking, or if he's fooled the sensors in Callus's office to think that he is Callus. However he has done it, there have been multiple times where he's just sneaking through Imperial facilities in the middle of the night, doing his thing, which involves a bit of sabotage here and a bit of knocking over the guards there and a bit of swiping the security passes and a bit of letting all the prisoners go. And whenever Callus gets back, Callus's routine at this point is, yeah, I'm with the Ghost crew. I'm gonna rest while I can, because the minute I get back, I have to deal with chaos. So they get off the Ice Moon. Zeb makes the offer of, hey, you could come back with me. I know how the rest of the Ghost feel about you. And, I know how sparse your life is in the Empire. You can't be happy there. And Callus is like, nope, can't do it yet, because all of the internal stuff. But then he starts acting as Fulcrum. And the Ghost crew know about this basically immediately. Because, so, one thing I haven't mentioned is that things can come with them. If they are carrying something, for instance, they will come along. Anything in Callus's pockets comes along when they switch places. If Zeb is carrying a big crate, then that comes along with him. And so there have been times when Callus shows back up in his office and finds a crate full of Meiluruns there. And he's like, well, now I have a crate full of Meiluruns. That's great. And there are other times when Callus, once he becomes Fulcrum, he uses this to his advantage. He will just pocket, all kinds of data chips. Any report, he will just I'm making a copy of it. This is in my pocket now. The next time he shows up on the Ghost, he's like, oh, yeah, I'm headed to, I'm here. And I will happily be escorted into the bedroom, because I'm going to take a nap. But before I do, here's a bunch of data chips. Have fun with those. Hera is so confused. Hera and Kanan, or whoever is escorting him back to the room, they are so confused. Because, Callus randomly showing up at this point is kind of normal now. But he normally doesn't hand over information. And Zeb hasn't talked about what happened on the Ice Moon other than, yeah, there was a giant monster, we fell into a crater, we got really cold and found a meteorite. It was weird. I wish it had only been one of us, because then we could have swapped out and it wouldn't have taken so long to get off there. And also, instead of hiding, Callus probably waved to the Ghost crew as they left. It was just like, yeah, send the Empire my way. And they probably did. They probably put in an anonymous tip, there's a signal coming from this Geonosian moon. It's on your frequencies. Guys, do you want to... Because they don't want Callus to die. So Hera ends up with these data chips, and she, looks through them and has Chopper look through them. And they're clean, as best as she can tell. And they're full of reports from the last 2 weeks that are just this is a lot of information. This is the kind of information that we wish Zeb would have picked up ages ago. He's so fixated. Like, Hera has had this conversation with Zeb. Like, the first few times they switched, she was like, this is a disaster. And then she was like, okay, but you can use this to your advantage. And he's destroying all this stuff, which is really annoying to Kanan. But also, Hera is like, really annoying to Kallus, not Kanan. Kanan might be annoyed as well. But Hera is like, okay, Zeb, if you downloaded that information onto a data chip before you destroyed it, me and Kanan have pulled this trick before, but the times that Zeb has tried it, one, he's not very good at slicing. Two, after this started happening, Kanan started encrypting all his personal files with insane amounts of, like, encryption. So Zeb has no idea what the passwords are, and he cannot get in, and there's probably, like, this little inside joke that if you type in the wrong password 3 times in the row, it says, Zeb, you are not allowed, or something like that. And don't break my lamp. Which means Zeb's only option at that point is to start smashing things. Which he is, you know, most of the time happy to do. But then, after a couple of times where Kallus has just handed Hera a bunch of data chips and gone to take a nap, Zeb, like, ends up in Kallus's office again, and he puts on the Do Not Disturb button, which is, like, that's one of the early things as well. Kallus set up a special command of, this is the Do Not Disturb button. It will mean nobody comes in to find you. And he puts a sticky note on top of it and goes like, press this button. Because again, he doesn't want to get caught. He doesn't want the Empire to know that he has a Lasat rebel soulmate. So that's one of the things that they were like, huh, that's useful. And Zeb did not destroy that. So Zeb's in Kallus' office, and he's got the Do Not Disturb button turned on, and he's just lounging there, and he goes to, like, type in to Kallus' computer, and maybe the message has changed. Like, he tries to log in. It fails. He tries to log in again. It fails again. He tries to log in a third time. The message pops up, and always in the past, it's been some variation of, Zeb, no, you are not allowed, or stop messing with my stuff, or, you know, something like that. But this time, it's like, Zeb, I know you're going to try this, so just, like, and it gives a hint as to the password that Zeb would know, like, maybe something about his bow rifle, or maybe, like, the name of the warrior he won his bow rifle off of. And it just says, like, my password is the name of the guy I won my bow rifle off of. And Zeb just is sitting there staring at the computer with this keyboard that is far too small for his big Lasat hands, staring at the screen going, really? And then there's like this, so he tries to type in the password again. It works. And immediately this message pops up going, like, alert! And it's, Zeb, do not get yourself caught. Click OK. And it's basically this warning of, dude, we've been doing this for so long, don't get us caught now. Zeb just, like, looks at the computer and doesn't know what to do with this. Like, he gets a couple of things, but he ends up, like, opening up a file and writing Kallus a letter in his Word document and pulling up different things and saving them in a new folder. Like, you know, I'm interested in, like, Zeb's folder. And, of course, they poof back to their own location in the middle of doing things. So Kanan, not Kanan, Kallus, goes from lying down in a bunk to sitting up in his chair, and he's very good at this by this point. So he finds himself sitting up, like, and he falls awake before he can, like, he wakes himself up as soon as he's sitting up. And Zeb,
is suddenly back in his bunk, and Callus is just, like, staring at his computer screen going, okay, what am I looking at? Oh, Zeb made a folder. Oh, what is he looking at? Why was he... Like, okay, I get the information about the new TIE fighter stuff. That, like, I expected, and I'd already sent, you know, information to Hera about that, but why is he looking up recipes? Actually, that one looks kind of good. Bookmark that one. And so that becomes the new status quo, that every once in a while they will randomly swap places, and, you know, every time they do, it's an opportunity to get more information back to the rebels. And Callus doesn't even have to encrypt anything. He just has to have it on his person. Of course, his random swaps are also, like, they're obvious enough that when Thrawn turns up and starts hunting down the rebel sympathizers and the spies in their midst, Callus becomes super paranoid. And then Zeb sees what Thrawn is capable of, and he becomes super paranoid. Yeah. Thrawn is super smart. He figures out what is happening, or at least who the leak is, and he figures out, I think he actually does figure out that it's a soulmate thing. I want to say that he is using, okay, this is a sidebar, and it might turn into its own story, because Eli and Thrawn would be soulmates, and by the rules I've set out for this universe, they wouldn't be switching back and forth between the Ascendancy, but that would be a really cool story, so sidebar that. But Thrawn figures out that Callus and Zeb, or Callus and one of the rebels, are soulmates, and sets a trap for them.
Okay, so my phone died in the middle of that recording, so here's the end of that mess. Right, so Thrawn sets a trap for Callus. He does not know when they will switch or who exactly his soulmate is. So he sets up a bunch of sensors and a bunch of stuff to track everybody in the base according to their ident sticks. And he tracks when Callus is in or out of the base. And so at one point, Callus is in his office, and then all of a sudden Callus is not in his office, and all Thrawn has to do is, like, stand up from his desk, call a couple of the death troopers around, walk up to Callus's office, put in his override code since he's a Grand Admiral, so no fancy, smanchy, do-not-disturb thing is going to work on him. Walk into Callus's office, and there's Zeb, probably sitting in Callus's chair, just, like, spinning, you know, just chilling. And Zeb is immediately like, oh shit. And Thrawn, like, orders the death troopers, like, take this rebel into custody. And so Zeb, being a rebel and being a long-time rebel, is familiar with this turn of events. It's been a possibility for a while. The problem is that he knows as soon as they switch back, it's gonna be Callus sitting there. And so, like, in his heart of hearts, he does not want Callus to get tortured. Unfortunately, he doesn't control the whole switching thing. So, after a while, they do switch back, and Callus, who has had no idea this is coming, pops into a cell. And he looks around, and there, on the other side of a force shield, is Thrawn and a couple of death troopers. And he's just like, ah, Agent Callus, welcome back. And Callus, in that 2 seconds, knows, oh, yeah, we've been caught. But he has no idea how much Thrawn knows, apart from the fact that Zeb is his soulmate. And Zeb, for his part, did try to, like, antagonize the guards a bit, figure out what Thrawn knew? Did he know about the fact that Kallus is a rebel? Did he know about the fact that, like, they have a secret base? Did he know about their secret base on Adelon? Did he know? And throughout all of this, Thrawn was just, like, silent. Fingers in his meditation pose, watching Zeb, completely unfazed by all the antagonizing talk. So Zeb poofs back into the rebel base, and he's probably in his room because Kallus was just chilling. So he storms out of the ghost, rushes through the base, desperate to find Hera or one of the other higher-ups, finds Hera, grabs hers and goes, "They've caught him!" And of course, he's probably in a planning room at this point. So immediately, he lets everyone know that Kallus, aka Agent Fulcrum, has been captured. He's probably getting tortured right now. Thrawn knows who he is. The only reason Zeb is not there is because they switched again, and yeah. A few of the higher-up rebels are like, "I'm so sorry to hear this. We will immediately cancel all his codes, but as an undercover agent, he knew the risks. And if Thrawn has him, trying a rescue operation would be a huge threat, a huge, it's too dangerous to risk. He's going to be in the tightest cell, in the most secure location, and I'm sorry that he's your soulmate, but you are both high-ranking rebel officers. You both know what you're in for." Hera is like, "Okay, if we can get some more information, we can try a rescue mission. But if he's still on Lothal, that's one thing. If he's getting transferred, he was an ISB agent. We don't know if he's going to get transferred back to Coruscant." So they're trying to get more information. And a lot of the fallout of that is mobilizing the base. Because Kallus knew a lot of information about them, and they have to cover their asses in case they pull it out of his head, in case an Inquisitor pulls it out of his head, in case they break him, in case whatever. So they actually start mobilizing to leave the base, or at least to transfer a lot of the equipment and personnel, which means in this universe, a lot of the extra people and equipment get off of Adelon way ahead of time. Couple hours go past. Kallus gets tortured. After a while, the stress and injury and all of that trigger another switch. Zeb finds himself possibly in a cell, possibly, actively chained up, possibly sitting at an interrogation table. He is not in binders, though. So if he at all can, he tries to fight back. As soon as the switch happens, he goes into battle mode. He fights back as much as he can. Unfortunately, Thrawn and his death troopers were prepared for this to happen. They expected it to happen at some point. Didn't know when, but they are able to stun him. They are able to lock him up. And Thrawn goes right on back with the torture. At this point, it's more verbal torture than physical, because he's telling Zeb all the things he did to Kallus, outlining what he's going to do to all of the rebels. Now, between Kallus and Zeb, they learn a bit of information here, because at some point, Kallus had to get transferred up to the Star Destroyer, the Chimera, and Zeb, being on the Chimera, can feel when it goes into hyperspace, when it drops out of hyperspace, all of that. Thrawn is keeping Zeb very close. So when Thrawn gets the, "We're 5 minutes to Adelon, sir," from one of his subordinates, Thrawn would never have slipped up like that, but the subordinate slips up. Zeb realizes that they are, Adelon, he actually knows, and they switch back. And Callus, for his part, when he poofed into the Rebel HQ, wherever Zeb was, probably still in the main control room, he was like, "Scramble everyone. They had transferred me to a Star Destroyer. They are not taking me to Coruscant. Zeb is planning an attack. He was saying that he was going to kill everyone in front of me. Thrawn didn't actually give away any of his battle plans, but it was very much a, here, let me tell you all the terrible things that I'm going to do to all of your allies." Which gets the last few people who are, like, which gets the last few people who were still stationed on planet up into their fighters, into their ships, leaving basically anything that isn't necessary, isn't going to be a leak in information, and launching from the planet. Which means that Callus is on the Ghost when they come out of hyperspace. And that's when they switch back. They come out of hyperspace. Thrawn has brought Zeb to the bridge of the Chimera. Zeb has 2 seconds of looking at all these ships rising off the planet, and they switch back. And so Zeb, who is not looking great at this point, there was a little bit of physical torture in amongst that psychological torture, like, grabs for his seat, mutters to Kanan and Hera to, like, let's get out of here, they're coming, and also the Callus, we've got to get him off that ship, and then battle. The battle isn't as desperate as it was in the show, which is a good thing because they don't have any Mandalorian help. Instead of going and trying to get help, Ezra and Sabine spent that time trying to get the rest of the rebels off the planet. In fact, there is no battle on the surface. It is only ship to ship. They still lose a good chunk of people. But they're better prepared for it. They had slightly more of a warning. Now, Callus poofed onto the bridge. He's no longer in cuffs. The rebels took those off. He has been preparing to poof back. The minute he does, he takes down one of the Death Troopers that is near him and bolts. Thrawn, being on the bridge, does give the order to, like, okay, capture him, but he's also just launched into a major offensive strike here. He can't exactly go himself. Callus knows Star Destroyers. Callus was an ISB officer. He manages to slip around and through and makes it to an escape pod. He does this very early in the battle. He manages to launch in such a way that his escape pod does not head straight into combat, but that also means that he has very little control of where he's going to end up or who's going to pick him up. So he basically does his best to try and trigger a switch so that Zeb knows he is in a escape pod now. And because Zeb is doing his best to try and trigger a switch also, the Force says, okay, and it happens. Zeb briefly finds himself in an escape pod, briefly recognizes the angles and velocity and where Callus is, or where the escape pod is heading. They switch back a few minutes later. It's a very short switch. And between the two of them, they relay to the Ghost crew where Callus is. Hera is a very good pilot, but she's also in the middle of a firefight, so she's like, yeah, okay, I'll get to it in a minute. So Callus just has to sit there in an escape pod for a few more minutes. They do manage to pick him up, though. And then they make it into hyperspace. And Zeb and Callus actually get to be in one place for the first time since the Ice Moon. And there are feelings and possibly confessions of love, possibly smut, and they all live happily ever after. You know, once the Empire is taken care of. The end.